Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and accompanying me for this wonderful movie review that we are going to be discussing is everybody's favorite co-host, the one, the only, the magnanimous, the incomparable,
Lady J.
Hey, are you done looking at your phone, Lady J? I'm putting you on blast right
here,
on the podcast.
I'm here. I'm right here.
All the time when we're watching TV and I have the phone in my hand, you say, are you going to be on that thing all
because
night?
Because you're chit-chatting. I'm doing research.
Research for? Uber Facts.
I love that page. Okay, go ahead. What are we talking
about today? Spoilers. We are going to spoil. Is it safe to spoil now? Can we talk about this movie?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a movie that had as many warnings. And
from the Russo brothers themselves, even.
From the Russo brothers, from every cast member of the Avengers, Endgame. People on the internet getting mad at you if you even gave a rating. I was one of those people who got mad at other people. So, spoilers ahead. We are discussing, finally, Avengers Endgame. This was a movie that we would have normally seen opening day, but the craze and the hype and the... What is it? Like the... It was nuts.
It was madness. Pure madness. People were buying tickets for $5,000 to be first.
Yeah.
That's a bit much, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's a stinking movie. You're going to get around to seeing it.
You're going to be able to, like, behold it at some point.
You're going to own it. You're going to be able to own it for $23.
This is the world that we live in now.
It's all about being first.
Being first, yeah.
It made me think of that Denzel Washington interview.
Yeah.
Where they were asking him about... talking to him just about news or newspapers and saying nothing is important of whether or not it's true. It's just a matter of who's first.
No one fact checks anything anymore.
But in this case, nobody wanted the movie spoiled. Nobody wanted this movie spoiled that everyone was insistent on being the first to see it. Even some people who aren't as hardcore Marvel fans as others.
Do you think people respected that? Or like, for me, I purposely avoided social media for a little bit.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I just went on one page, checked something out.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, because you can just, by accident, stumble upon something maybe you didn't want to know about.
Right.
So it's kind of, like, even if someone's joking about it, maybe they're not necessarily spoiling it. Okay, for example. I thought this was funny at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, remember Titanic?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
I remember.
And I remember saying something like, to the effect, they're like, no, I don't want to know what happens. I'm like, well, the boat sinks. That's all I'm telling you. But you know what I mean? Right. Like, that's just the common...
You know that's what you're going to see.
Exactly, yeah, right? But just for funsies, you would say something silly, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it was pretty factual. And I don't think people were purposely trying to spoil it, and if they were, you're a douchebag. But I think you could, by accident, come across something that you probably didn't want to know quite yet.
Right.
So I took precaution myself by staying away from certain outlets or platforms.
Yes.
So it could be a surprise for me.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember a movie that had such a fever pitch for anticipation because...
Well, what other movie do you know has been in the making for the past 10 years?
Yeah, right? No, I was just going to say that because especially in a time where everybody's making universe movies with continuity and you've got... all different types of outlets, whether it be video games, whether it be Netflix, like every type of form of entertainment is trying to buy your time out,
mm-hmm.
for you to be consumed by it. So for something that you still have to pay the old-fashioned way to go to the movie theater to watch, for people to still be in that frame of mind for something like this was pretty remarkable. And I think after Infinity War last year, it set the bar so high of payoff. Like, watching these movies what may have... Like, I remember me and you were just recently watching some of the old Marvel movies these past couple days post-Endgame. Mm-hmm. And you appreciate so much more of those movies, seeing how they paid respect back to them.
Right.
In the movie that's just been released, in Endgame. Mm-hmm. Even just watching Captain America, First Avenger, like, it means so much more now.
Do you think that they intended for these scenes to have some kind of double meaning now, so many years ahead of when they originally came out?
I've been thinking about that, actually. And people, I think, are everyone who's talking about these movies is asking those same questions. Like, how far in advance did you think they know they were going to go this route? I think as soon as they knew that the Avengers movie was happening, and they were on a roll with being successful leading up to that, I think they knew however they were going to end it, or put a, because it's not over, they're still making more, but this, like, era, mm-hmm. however they were going to, you know, tie the loose end, put a bow on it, I think they knew they were going to go the route they did. Maybe not which particular movie, but whichever one was going to be last, I think that they were going to go that route. You want to get into this film?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, so what was your... you haven't gone to a movie thus far this year with me.
No, I think the last movie I saw in the theaters, and you let me know if I'm incorrect, I think it was The Adventures or something of Marwyn, the Marwyn yes. thing yes. in New York City.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen a movie since then.
No, because you didn't watch Aquaman with me.
No.
Which I watched just before Marwyn. I
put my foot down on that
one. Yeah, you put your foot down on that. You didn't watch...
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, which is the precursor to Endgame in a way.
Yeah.
And you I didn't see the other Captain Marvel or Shazam.
And I didn't see Ant-Man and the Wasp. I didn't see that one.
You didn't come to the theater to watch Into the Spider-Verse.
No, but I saw that one. I liked
it. Yeah, it was very good.
That was fun.
So I was going to the theater, or just looking at the posters when you walk by one. I'm like, we live in a time when Shazam, Captain Marvel, right? And then Marvel Comics, Captain Marvel, as well as Avengers, are all on the marquee. I don't think people appreciate it anymore. I mean, we see it. It's like, it's cool, wow, but it's so normal. Where when I was a kid, if there was a superhero movie coming out, it was like one every five years.
Right, and you feel it's oversaturated?
Not at all.
No?
It's just...
We can't get enough?
We clearly can't get enough, because they're still making huge, huge money. I just think sometimes it goes over our heads how incredible, or what movies that they are actually made. Because before it was Batman, Superman, the big two names that everyone kind of knew universally. And then it became, what was the next big thing? Spider-Man, X-Men, right? Mm-hmm. And they were going into those. And they were sporadic. One, two a year. Had nothing to do with each other. They were just their own properties. But once Marvel Studios started making movies, starting with Iron Man, and it became this connected universe. Well,
let's just say what it is. Once Disney took over.
Yeah, for real.
That's it.
It's been crazy. And between DC, between Marvel, between
Star Wars,
and then you've got all those other independent comic book properties, like a Hellboy that's had another redo. You've got the Umbrella Academy on Netflix. Like, it just, the list goes down the line of all of these different things that are getting, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Yeah.
You turn on the TV, you got Titans, you've got Doom Patrol, Flash. The list goes on and on. There's nothing you can't watch.
I thought you were going to say Pup Patrol for a second.
So yeah, it's just exciting, like, to go to the theater now and to see this happening. It's incredible. And to have an Avengers be built up for 10 years to culminate in this way with such a wonderful payoff that pays respect to everything that they did. It's so, oh man, it just makes it all worthwhile. Like the comic book fanboy in me is so happy, but then I'm also happy to see people like my parents excited to go and watch this stuff and be like, you see?
Yeah,
you
but
see
they're also the like same it? People that like Aquaman.
Yeah, I know. But it's crazy Aquaman has a movie. As as much as I maybe ragged on it.
I like Aquaman in general. I don't. Yeah. I know he's like the butt of the DC, you know, superhero jokes and stuff. I think he's badass. I think Aquaman is so cool. Mm-hmm. The movie though, man, I don't know.
You might like it.
Well, no, you've never seen it. Anyway, we're not here for that. Okay. We're here for this.
So what was we watched Avengers Infinity War last year. We did a 2-hour podcast on it.
Oh my goodness, really?
Know. Yeah, we did. We loved it. We absolutely loved it. Blew us away. What was your anticipation going into this? How hyped were you personally?
How hyped was I? Yeah, I want to see it.
I preface that with saying all the movies you haven't gone to see to emphasize the fact that you wanted to see this movie and you're just like, I wanted to see it. Did you have, after watching Infinity War, what were your speculations of what was going to happen?
I don't know if maybe I remember this differently, but I feel like I didn't know that this was going to be a 2-parter thing. I thought that movie was just going to be it. So when he just done did it, and I was like, that's it. And then I saw like end credits. I'm like, ¿qué? Did the bad guy actually just win?
Yeah.
You know?
You were pretty stunned.
That was like a complete turn to what I think anyone was expecting, right? So, you know, and then, to my surprise, I was on Team Thanos. I completely agreed with the ideology behind
you and Bill Burr are population control. Let's get rid of half of these people.
Yeah, I'm down 100%. And I like the approach of it. I like that it was an unbiased pick of people. It was
and good. Animals.
This saddened me a little bit, but it balanced the scales. And I, you know, like I said, if I wanted to take a step back, and if I'm being honest with myself and everybody else, yeah, man,
you got it.
I thought it was all right. I thought it was okay.
So what if me and Kobe got snapped and faded to dust?
Of course, I would. I would hate it.
Would you want a retribution? Or would you be like, well, you know, I'm Team Thanos, so screw him.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Wow. Cold hearted.
No, I think for me, I would have been like, I wish I was gone too kind of thing, right? But whatever. Anyway, when I saw it then, I was like, no way. Did they just do that?
Which one was the hardest one for you to part with? Which character was the toughest?
Who disintegrated into thin air?
Yeah, which one were you like, oh no, not him?
I think Black Panther. Mm. Only, and I think perhaps because I think his movie had, like, I think was the most recent that had come out before Infinity War. Yeah. So I'm like, he just came out. We'll just leave him alone. It's always the black guy that gotta get, like, has to get done for. How is that possible? So I was kind of like, he just got his, like, feature film, and he's just piecing out like that?
Right.
So I think he was the one that kind of, I was most surprised with.
Stung.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How did you think they were going to approach, when you knew it was going to be part two, the story wasn't done, and there was more to it? What was your speculation in regards to them fixing it?
I thought they would do something with the time stone.
Okay.
And just go backwards.
So you thought time travel
was going to be involved. I thought time would do something, yeah. That to me made the most sense, I think.
Mm.
Like, okay. Just get a sorcerer.
He disappeared.
No, I know, but like, see how Thanos was kind of unraveling reality? You know how there was that scene where he had Gamora, right? And then Quill had to, like, figure it out. Like, he was going to kill her. But then he, like, changed the knife to bubbles or something. Oh,
the gun turned to pop bubbles.
Yeah. Or how he... it looked like nowhere was intact, but was actually destroyed. Mm. So he, like, was messing with their reality.
Right.
So it was, like, each individual stone had its purpose. And I thought, for some reason, something would happen that way.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
No. I get, because in the movie too, in Infinity War, he has the moment where Scarlet Witch destroys Vision's.
Right. And then he rewound it.
That's right. What, yeah. So yeah, your theory has premise. There's precedent set for it. Everybody was speculating because for a lot of people, contractually, this was going to be their last film. In the MCU. So I think people like Robert Downey Jr., I'm not sure about Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth, but a lot of the original people were speculated that who's going to die. Did you have an idea of who they were going to eliminate in the hero's journey? Did you think Cap was going to sacrifice?
No, because I thought they already killed enough people in the last one. What more else is there to do?
In order to bring people back, I'm saying.
No, didn't occur to me. Sorry, I'm simple-minded that way. No, I figured that's okay. They'd done that. They did the shock of value of the storytelling. What more is there to say?
Okay, so you just thought it was going to be happily ever after this time?
No, I didn't think it would be happily ever after. And I guess it's silly of me to think there wouldn't be any fatalities in war, but I wasn't thinking that would happen. Mm. Because, you know, the good guy always wins.
Right.
Typically.
Right. No, and you suffered such a loss in the
I know, first but the one. First round, that was it. Like let's what get more, something good what happening. What more is this guy going to do?
Right. So how did you feel about the way the movie began? Like where they've... I'm trying to think. Okay, yes, it starts with them seeing Tony Stark and Nebula in space. A little bit of time left for them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. How did you... Was the fact that you see Captain Marvel... save them? Did you have an inkling that that's how they were going to come out of it? Because you didn't see Captain Marvel, right?
No, I didn't see Captain Marvel. But you told me about the end scene in her movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess how that would tie into this one. I don't know. I thought it was a little too easy. It was a little too simple.
Did you think if you would have seen her interact with the Avengers in the end credits of her own movie, you would have been a little bit more like, oh yeah, of course. That's kind of what she was there for, or...
Like, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like... it was a little underwhelming, as much as her character was a pivotal thing in this story, for her to just show up, and then all of a sudden Tony's on Earth. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that was fast.
How did you feel about how he looked?
Skinny and frail?
Yeah, it was pretty well done. Like,
yeah,
it was kind of frightening to see him so emaciated.
Yes. I'm agreeing for the first time.
The fact that they find a way to go to where Thanos is. They figure out where he's you know, retired after his success of his journey and using the gauntlet. What was your reaction when they just nixed him? When Thor gave him the, how do you do?
I figured to myself for a second, what are we going to do for the next 3 hours? Like everyone says, this movie's 3 hours long.
You actually said it in the theater. Like, okay, we're done. Let's get going.
Did I? I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. But that did cross my mind. I'm like, oh, now what?
Right? It did. And one thing I will give a lot of credit to the directors and everybody involved in the making of the movie is the trailer really gave nothing away. Whatever they showed in the trailer is pretty much in the first half hour of the movie, it seems. There's nothing that happens later on in the movie where you're like, I've been waiting for this part. Everything was a surprise. Like, even them using, like, I when I saw the in the trailer, they were all walking slow motion
in their white time suits.
Yeah. I didn't know what, I thought they were going to space. I wasn't sure exactly what those suits represented. And so to see it happen so quickly in the movie, I was very satisfied with the fact that nothing in the trailer gave away a moment you would be waiting for. And there was a lot of moments in this movie that are like so exciting and so even quiet moments that are so fulfilling. What did you think of time travel?
I don't like it.
Yeah, spoilers. This movie uses time travel in a big, big way.
Okay, we already said spoilers. We already know we're going to ruin it.
Okay.
Just know. I don't like it. Why? I don't understand it. I don't know what's happening. People walking around with, like liquid tubes and talking about quantifying things and, like...
Quantum physics.
So people...
quantifying.
People, like, changing their... I don't know. It's just... It's so over my head. I don't think time travel is meant for us to understand.
Do you like when it's used in storytelling, like movies, TV shows, or is that the point where you check out?
I obviously do check out. I'm more just like, just get it, just do it. Whatever you think of doing it, just get it done already. It's a little, and this is, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the first hour was unnecessary.
Okay.
The first hour was just unnecessary. I don't think it had to be 3 hours.
No?
I think a nice half hour of what life was post-snapping of the fingers would have been all right. Yeah, but I think they dragged the first hour a bit.
Yeah?
Too much.
Wasn't enough happening for you.
It's not that enough wasn't happening, but I get it. People are sad. People lost things. And I'm sorry. How is everyone's cell phone still working? Like... Or, you know, this technology of people trying, having virtual meetings. Like, half of the population is gone. So all of these corporate people, these physicists and high tech.
Doesn't mean they were all...
IT people, all they're all gone.
They're not so all gone.
But yeah, but corporations can't be functioning more... What do you mean, why not?
Why not?
You have departments with people surveying a certain amount of whatever.
Okay, if you in your field of work, right? If there was a Thanos snap and half of you were gone, would the office shut down?
Well, because half of the patients would be gone too?
No, half the patients, but would the office be functional?
But that's different. Because it doesn't, it's not relying on up-to-date technology.
So you have people step in to do it.
You could still use traditional braces to straighten teeth. But half of the Invisalign people in, what is it, Texas, where their headquarters is, half of the technicians are gone. So who's making all of these aligners for the whole world?
It would definitely affect business for a time.
Right, so we'd probably be like back to barbaric times.
No, we wouldn't be barbaric times.
Probably.
No.
The world would be functioning the same way.
All they did was disappear. They just disappeared.
Right.
But it didn't mean that things stopped working. Cell phone towers still worked, and people who work for cell phone towers were still working. The ones who remained.
I know what you're saying.
They just disappeared. There wasn't even a cleanup process. They just gone.
Psh. No, but things would have gotten destroyed. What are you talking about? If there was a pilot that was flying a plane and he evaporated out of nowhere, that plane went into the mountains.
Yeah, so one plane is gone with 120 people. It would have made a mess. I'm not saying it would have made a mess. But for the most part, things could still function.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't think it would function to the level that it was presented in this movie.
How did you feel about all of
that? Like, I'm sorry, Black Widow couldn't even bother to dye her hair. You're going to tell me that
she's depressed.
You're going to tell me that these horoscopic figures are going to show up and have
holographic.
Yeah, fine.
Not horoscope.
Are going to show up to have a little you know, a little
That's how they communicate.
Business meeting. Can I just say what I want to say? Why the hell do you have me on here then if you don't want to hear it?
I'm disagreeing with you.
What's going
on here? We're disagreeing. How did you feel about all of Hawkeye's family disappearing?
Did you? Hey man, everybody lost somebody.
He lost all of them.
Okay.
That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Team Thanos. I'm sorry.
Completely. No, okay, look. Okay. Everybody knows. I empathize with Thanos. I do. Even post-viewing, I do. I don't think he was hungry for blood. And I think the post-snap was proof, really, that life was better. From an ecosystem point of view.
And the holographic communicator still worked.
No, and you want to know why? Because even that... Are you going to keep chugging while I speak? This is very disrespectful. Are you paying attention?
I'm paying attention.
I swear, if he snapped his fingers now and it was between you and me, I wouldn't have a problem.
With you or me?
Either or, because then I wouldn't be in this situation. Jesus. Can I get back to what I was saying?
No one's stopping you.
Captain America said something very important.
Okay.
When he went to go see Black Widow... At that time, and he was like, you know, the plus side is on my way here, I saw a pod of whales,
mm-hmm.
less pollution,
mm-hmm.
look at the bright side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yeah, people died. But that is a plus. Because there are parts of the world, animals, people, that are suffering at the hands of human destruction. And
right.
because things were minimized due to Thanos' execution of his plan, this in turn was, I think, evidence of his success in accomplishing that.
That's right? What makes him a great villain.
I'm all about eco-terrorists, I think, a little bit. Like, you know, like Ra's al Ghul and like all the fictional people. I'm not.
So you're more of a, you have no problem Ra's al Ghul killing Batman.
No, I never said that.
Well, that's
I never that said is... that, but he had, okay, can we, that's a whole different conversation. let's focus on that. But let me say something.
as Batman gets dusted, we got a problem.
No, can I share something else? I'm on a tangent now.
Yeah.
Because no, like, okay, you laugh, but it's serious. There's this stat I came across,
mm-hmm.
okay, where it says the penises of polar bears are shrinking on average. Why are you laughing? I'm talking about something serious here. Why are you laughing?
Because you said you're going on a tangent, and the next thing you say is the penises of polar bears.
It's true. The penises of polar bears are shrinking on average because of pollution.
So let's Thanos snap it then.
That's what I'm saying.
For the polar bear's penis. For the sake of a polar
See,
bear's
you
penis.
Laugh, you laugh. I do laugh. But these are the things that are affecting
yes.
not just the peoples, but every living thing on Earth, right? So I think there was a, not to sound cheesy, but if we were to look at something positive of this...
disaster and genocide.
That would be it. It's like clean slate. Like, we can start over again. Things are cleaner. Things are quieter. Things aren't so congested. Things aren't so toxic anymore. And I think I understand where he was going with it.
Tell us how you feel about Hitler.
That's terrible. Why? What do you mean? Ask me something
maybe,
like that.
I don't know. Because maybe...
Hey, man, you know what? At least I'll say it out loud. I'm sure everyone's thinking it. Not Hitler, but I'm sure people, like, I'm sorry. If when you're on the 401 and you're having, like, a congestion problem, I'm sure no one is, like, on their little, ooh, what a nice day. Let me roll down the window and just take it. There's nothing I can do. I'll just take it.
Everyone's thinking a Thanos snap right now would be good.
Absolutely, man. And if you're not, you're not normal.
Okay.
Not, no,
okay.
I'm sorry. Like,
it'd be worse traffic if you Thanos snapped on the 401. It'd be much worse traffic.
Well, you don't want to be in the midst of the snap.
Okay, instead, let's move on from the sympathizing with the terrorist.
Why?
Let's keep talking about the rest of the movie. That is the
pivotal thing of how all this started. And I'm just saying, for one, of course, yes, lots of people, innocent people died. But I also think, too, it was done fairly. Because when he snapped the fingers, everybody died, including people on his side. Right? Bad guys died, too.
I don't remember, but maybe you're right.
What do you mean, maybe I'm right? I know I'm right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe you.
Now you're making me question myself.
I believe you. I believe. Yeah, he did half of the universe. Half of all in existence. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Was there anybody you were... Oh, yes. You said Black Panther. You would have liked him to stick around, of course. The Black King. Black King and elephants and whales. That's all we need in Daphne's world.
I don't know why this is so funny. You're asking me my opinion.
Because you said, listen, I'm on a tangent, but let's talk about the penises of polar bears. No, that was funny. A stat.
Anyway, whatever. You're not interested? Oh, why am I here? I don't understand.
Okay, what did you think about some of the changes in characters that they had? In, for instance, you had, in the last movie, what's the word? Okay, there's a phrase now. But the Hulk had performance anxiety in Infinity War, where he couldn't become what he needed to be in order to help his friends. And in this one, you've got a combination of Bruce Banner's super intelligent Hulk.
He was like Beast from the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Did you like this approach of the Hulk, to see him in a different light where he can still be him?
At first I'm like, what? Why? But then I'm like, no, this is good because they're taking a character and making him versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mind that at all, actually, yeah. After a while. I was kind of like, I'd like to see Bruce at some point. And then he popped out of nowhere in a hologram form.
Right.
But it happened.
Yeah.
So you got to see him. It was a nice, I think it was a clever way to take a reoccurring character and making him fresh again.
Right. What did you think of what they did with Thor?
I didn't like it too much. However, I understood, like, and I think there was a subliminal thing, like, you know, mental health is real. Mm-hmm. Depression affects people. Mm-hmm. And I think he overall felt that it would, everybody, I don't know if everybody, but most characters all had like this individual guilt.
Yeah.
Like Cap was like, well, if we would have listened to Tony. Tony had maybe he felt this thing about losing Peter Parker. Thor obviously is like, I should have gone for the head. Yeah, and I didn't.
He lost so much.
Yeah. And oh my goodness, like
all his people.
He was
all alone,
circling the drain. Mm-hmm. And I think, we were as the audience able to kind of make like take a comedic angle from that, but how serious it really was, that was pretty heavy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you're right, they added a comedic element, but it really did show, like, this is the effects that real depression has.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has all the reason in the world to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's being laughed at, but it's also a realistic view,
mm-hmm,
of what happens to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just hoping, like, maybe not the whole movie he would be in this body where he's, I think Rocket said, you look like a tub of melted ice cream. It was funny. But I was hoping he'd whip up back into shape.
My biggest concern was the whole, like, his being looking disheveled. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get my eye, like, I couldn't stand his beard. And, like, his hair was all, like, and I think, too, that was, I think, an imagery of what the polar opposite of what he was. Like, he was this regal,
mm-hmm,
handsome, you know, princely
deity.
Exactly. Yeah. And now he's just like dirty and like sloppy and like, yeah. And there's another stat that I came across that apparently there's feces that could be found in men's beards. It's, yeah, disgusting. And I thought, no, that can't be it. That can't, no. Because, you know, Shane Heron says he shampoos it on a regular basis, yeah, right? Like, yeah, you need to maintain that thing. But it didn't But that's plausible.
Yeah.
We use our hands to take care of ourselves, and then you think you washed it all off, and then, you know, you're stroking your beard all the time. Like, that can happen. So my mind was only going there.
Yeah.
I'm like, ew, his beard looks exactly what I think it is. You know what I mean? It was just like my mind was going everywhere with that. I was like, oh, no, he looks unkept. Completely polar opposite to how he was initially introduced to us.
Right.
So again, I think that was their way of trying to take, again, a reoccurring character and present them in a different light so as to not be so redundant. Mm. But at the same time, I feel like there were a couple repetitive things in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it got to a point where I'm like, I think I could just do without this now. Yeah. But
like what though?
With Thor being that sort of like him looking that way, him kind of feeling that way, I think I want to just regular when they're about to have the big showdown, and there's a point where it's the big three, Tony, Steve, and Thor going to approach the villain. And I'm like, this would look so cool. This is a comic book cover splash page. I would like to, like, if he wasn't sloppy, I'd like to this would be an
amazing poster. Did he even tie his hair back at least?
I think he did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, he
tied at his least
hair back. Yeah,
jeez.
When time travel gets introduced, because a big proponent of this movie is Ant-Man, which is kind of cool because he wasn't anywhere to be seen in Infinity War, and in this one
he was just in Civil War, right?
He made a cameo in Civil War, and in this one, so after they kill Thanos, I'm kind of jumping around here. In the beginning of the movie, they all go to where Thanos has retired. They murder him because they just feel that that's justice. And when they go...
Which I think is pretty hypocritical of them to do.
Yeah.
They basically, like, assaulted and assassinated him. He wasn't... At this point, he wasn't doing anything anymore, and they just came in and done him.
But Thor had enough. It was Thor, really, who did it.
Yeah, but they went with the intent of doing something.
Bringing him to justice, at the very least. This universal
terrorist. I guess you're right. I think it was Thor that just said, I'm
done.
We're here. Yeah.
Yeah. So they jump forward 5 years. It's pretty dramatic. How they, like, it isn't just like a quick 5 years later thing. They kind of draw out that whole time has lapsed now.
Yeah.
And we're in the future, and these people are living at a time where they've been in this reality now. Had to settle into it. Some people can't get over it. You see what happens to Thor. You see what happens to Banner. Scarlett Johansson's character. What's her name? Natalia. Everyone's a mess.
Black Widow.
Yeah.
And her roots were growing up.
Yeah, she Tony has moved on. He's kind of in a happily ever after moment of his life. He's gotten married to Pepper, has a child. So people's lives have changed drastically in these 5 years. I had a question that I had asked you before, and now I forgot. When time travel gets introduced to the story because of Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, right? Because of Scott.
You know, he's 50.
He's 50. Yeah, you told me that.
He looks good for a white guy in his 50s.
He does. He has a youthfulness to him. He escapes from the quantum realm, which he was trapped in during the moment of the snap. He's been in there for 5 years, but it's only felt like 5 hours, I think, to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets, basically, they save the day because a rat accidentally steps on the button to help him exit from the quantum realm.
Yeah.
And he comes up with the idea to say, hey, if we tap into this thing, can we mess around with time?
Well, and it also so happens that Tony Stark survives the snapping of the fingers, and he actually saves the day because he actually figures out the formula or the, what's it called? It's a mathematical not word. The
paradox?
No.
The quantum physics?
No. The equation. Of like what to do, when
how
not
to make
to
it
do.
Work. Right.
Yeah. Like, it is a little too convenient.
A little bit. But that's...
Is that what you're getting at?
No.
What are we talking about here?
Like, you said that you were tired of time travel. movies, okay? But when you realized that it was going to occur in this storyline, was there any part of you that got excited for where they might go?
No.
Perfect.
No. Well, because I didn't... No. No. I didn't have any... what's it called? When you think of things ahead of time?
Speculation.
Expectation. So having watched how it unraveled, that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. I have been talking to people about it, and Kevin Feige, who is the big boss of Marvel Studios, his favorite movie, if I'm not mistaken, is Back to the Future.
Is that why they kept referencing it?
Yeah, so...
But were they referencing it to make fun of it?
They were, but they also I think it's, in a way, an homage to the movie that he was a fan of when he was younger. I heard him on a podcast saying how the post-credit sequences in the Marvel movies is something that he got from watching Back to the Future Part 2, where they had a post-credit trailer in Back to the Future Part 2 showing what was going to happen in Part 3. So ever since then, it was always something that he wanted. One day, you know, when the opportunity came, he wanted to incorporate something like that in the movies he was making. Mm-hmm. So I it made perfect sense to me. It was very poetic that this last one was going to have this feature. And I like that they poked fun at all of those movies that include time travel. And of course, every time travel movie makes its kind of its rules in order to make a story progress, but also have rules where you don't allow yourself to cheat within the plot line of the story you're telling. So this one made it, you're right, it made it very convenient in the sense that when you travel to a certain point in time, it's not, you don't have to worry about that butterfly effect that if I, you know, like in Back to the Future 2, if I buy a sports magazine, come back into the past, I can tamper with reality. It just creates alternate timelines that won't be, that becomes its own timeline. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a convenient thing that they were able to go to all of these different places at different times with three different teams within the Avengers and once again acquire the Infinity Stones in order to have the ultimate power to reverse Thanos' success, as it were. The snap.
It was a success.
Yeah, it was. He succeeded.
Because did you know that overfishing, climate change, pollution, and other things have pushed our oceans to the brink of collapse?
Yeah, I realize you're not listening to a word I'm saying because you're looking up facts.
No, I'm not looking up facts. These are facts that I've known.
Yeah.
The reason why I feel the way I feel about this fictional story,
yeah,
is because of the things I've come across over
absolutely, like, and that's what makes it intriguing, right? Is that here's somebody who did he actually make things better? It gives you that moment of critical thinking,
yeah,
and that's what makes villains great villains, when they really believe that what they're doing is the right thing. And when they can make an argument that somebody like you, for instance, can be like, wait a second.
I'm just the type of person that appreciates both sides of the coin.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I'm all for the superheroes. Of course I hate injustice. What are you looking at? Are you have somewhere to be?
No, I'm just seeing how much tape we got.
Who cares? It's fine. This is what I'm saying. Like...
Snap me.
Whatever. I don't care.
You're such a dork. It's hilarious. This is what I'm saying. You're checking the time. You deserve to die.
Whatever.
So, I had an assumption in Infinity War when the six original Avengers didn't disappear that there was going to be some sort of tampering with the first movie.
Who's the original six? Thor, Captain America, Iron Man.
Black Widow.
Uh-huh.
The Hulk.
Okay.
And
that's six already.
And no, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, the Hulk, and Hawkeye.
And Hawkeye. Okay.
That was the six. And so I thought there was going to be, that wasn't a coincidence that those six at least from what you knew, Hawkeye didn't vanish. So when they did go back into the first movie, and it was very reminiscent of Back to the Future Part 2, mm-hmm. where you go back to the very same places and you just see it from a different angle. I love that sort of thing. So that tickled me.
Yeah.
Seeing that. And the humor that's involved in it. We're seeing the Hulk have to take the stairs down instead of the elevator with the rest of the team. And my favorite part of that was Cap fighting himself.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
And
but didn't you, as cool as it was, didn't you find it to be redundant? No. And unoriginal? Because I find in this day and age, nothing's original anymore. Everything's a reboot. They're doing the Jeffersons again, or like, you know, they're redoing all of these shows that were a hit back then. Even making new TV shows based on the other TV shows. So like, for example, The Big Bang Theory, there's the young Sheldon. And I think I saw on Instagram today that Blackish, not only did they make the spinoff for the daughter, I don't know the name of the show, I think it's following the eldest daughter when she's in college, but I think they're taking Bo's character and doing like her origin story. And I think it's called Mixed-ish.
Okay.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, nothing is new anymore. Everything is in another idea from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and in this case, we've done the Back to the Future thing. So as cool as it was and as entertaining as it was, we've seen this before.
But you haven't, though.
But we have. Not only have we seen this idea executed in other movies, but we've seen the movie that they're infiltrating again. That happened. When did the
2012.
Yeah.
I thought that's great.
I'm not saying it wasn't great. I'm just saying, didn't you think it was a little repetitive?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'm just asking the question.
You know why? Because in a lot of the other time travel movies, like a Back to the Future, you don't interact with yourself. You're not supposed to. So this one, for him to be face-to-face and for them to say...
Didn't they say that, though? Didn't they say, yeah, try to avoid yourself?
No.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they said this one, it doesn't matter. It goes, try to... But it's like, it's not, this isn't Back to the Future. If you run into yourself, it doesn't change anything.
Rhodey and,
yeah,
and Ant-Man, they were figuring that out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So and what I liked about it was that while they are revisiting all of these places, it's all callbacks to the other movies within the cinematic universe. So
yes,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I love that.
But do you like the scene in New York City in 2012 better than the never before scene that happened in the 70s with Stark and the Ant-Man guy when Cap and Tony went back
yeah, into that, the past? Yeah, that's my favorite.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
right?
That's my favorite.
You're taking something that we've seen before to do something, but then you're taking something we've never seen before, but it's a whole new twist altogether.
And that's what I like that they did, is that they revisit scenes.
They paid homage.
They paid,
okay,
yes.
Okay, you said it.
That's fine. What I like.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Even Thor, going back to the Dark World, a movie that people usually don't talk about amongst all of these movies, the 21, Thor the Dark World is probably like on the lower spectrum of all of these, right? But for him to go back and be able to talk to his mother, whom he lost, and for that relationship.
But again, a scene that's never really been seen before. It was a new perspective, a new take on something that we thought we knew.
But that's the same thing that happened with the 2012.
As I said that, I realized that
was happening. Because even the elevator scene when Cap is on the elevator with the briefcase.
The Hail Hydra moment.
Right? That's
That was dope. That was, because you think they're going to redo the same scene.
Exactly, right?
And like, oh, I know what's going to go down. Right. And then all of a sudden, he just walks away with the briefcase.
And you're almost like, hoping, right? You're almost like, oh, this is good. They're going to do that scene in the elevator again. This is going to be dope.
But see, how is it that they realize that scene's been there, done that, but then everything else, they're okay to repeat?
But they didn't.
On different angles, though. On some things, yes. I'm just saying.
But to see Cap fight Cap is cool, especially when he's like, oh, I could do this all day.
Because that's never happened before.
It's great. That's what I mean. I think you're arguing yourself for me.
I am.
You always do this.
This is my life. These are the voices in my head talking on the outside.
So yes, I.
Wow, that was redundant. Yeah.
So yes, I was a little bit concerned that the time travel trope that's been done in many, many other movies, like you think of Terminator and how often time travel is used in that to like to the point where it's like, okay, now this is a paradox beyond we can even imagine, you know, sending a guy back to protect your mother who becomes your father, like so that you're born, that becomes this loop that's very strange. But in this case, what I did like about it was that they allowed the character interactions with family members or with scenes outside of, you know, revisiting Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or revisiting Thor Dark World. It one, tickles you as a fan who's watched all these movies because it brings back that moment that was so memorable the first time around. But then there's like character development.
Again, I don't mean to argue myself here, but if I wanted to see those scenes, I would just watch those movies.
But you didn't get those scenes. You just revisit moments for the characters to have their proper send-off, for Tony to talk to his dad and be at peace.
But that was a never before anything.
But same with Thor and his mom, right? She sees him in this position and says, I know something's up with you. This is not the you that is, you know, I just saw 5 minutes ago. I'm going to help you before whatever happens to my life happens.
Right.
Even for Steve to see Peggy working in S.H.I.E.L.D., just to be able to see her again. Like, these little emotional moments are so satisfying as a person who's traveled these stories with an audience, with the characters.
Yeah, but you're also a sappy sap.
100%.
You love that stuff.
A total sap. Were you... what I thought was a really cool spin, or a red herring that they did, was that there's going to be a Black Widow solo movie. So...
Is there?
Yeah. So with that in mind, you go into this movie without any...
Maybe it's a prequel.
Right. But you don't expect her. You're expecting her to have a solo movie coming up. So nothing's going to happen to her. So for her fate to be decided the way it was in an act of sacrifice when her and Hawkeye go to get the Soul Stone, I was shocked. That actually surprised me. How about you? I guess you didn't know there's a Black Widow movie coming out.
I didn't.
So.
I didn't. But I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably so confused. Is the Soul Stone infinite? In the sense that as long as you keep throwing someone you like over the cliff, you'll always get a stone?
No.
So how is it that they were able to retrieve said stone?
They traveled there before Thanos got it.
Before Thanos.
So the key was...
That's why Gamora was still alive.
Right. So... Their team was going to get Quill Stone from Guardians of the Galaxy Part 1. That was in 2014 that they traveled back. So at that time, they went and got two stones in the same era. And that the teams for that were Nebula and... what's his name? War Machine, Don Cheadle's character, were retrieving it from Quill before he got a chance to. And then at that same time...
Cap and Tony.
But in 2014, it was Hawkeye and Black Widow that went to where the Soul Stone is.
Sure.
So that's how they got it.
I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked... No. I'm still talking.
Yeah.
I liked that. I felt that, how do I say it? I have it here. Nebula, like this story was pretty much centered around Nebula.
Mm-hmm.
And that she was the in the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, she's the one that tied all of them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which was, seeing as, A, she was introduced as an enemy, mm-hmm. and perhaps, like a B-rated character, she actually was a pretty big front runner in this whole thing.
Yeah, totally. And I think,
which again, new twist, new angle, and I think that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. They didn't make anybody go to waste. There wasn't anything that, something that you had seen in other movies or TV shows that may have been like not important.
I disagree with that a little bit. Okay. I think Quill and Gamora was a bit of a waste. It's very much up in the air.
Their relationship, you mean?
Right now, yes.
Right. But that's a
way. Like, why have me invest in these people if then it's just going to be like nothing happened, really?
I think because a lot of times when characters like that, when they just settled it, and let's say in the next movie, Gamora and...
This Gamora.
Well, just say in general, right? If Gamora didn't die, if they just corrected that and they put them together, there's not as much story to tell. What makes their relationship is cool because he compared it to
Cheers,
and in Cheers, when Sam and Diane got together, it ended the
the show's
that thing that made it good. It's not as good anymore, so it's kind of a cool thing that they've, as soon as they were ready to kill and die for each other, their relationship is like, will they, won't they again?
Uh-huh.
So the next movie.
So it's like recognizing the thing that ruined Cheers, they're not going to let it ruin their franchise.
Exactly. Exactly. All it's right. Kind of cool.
I see you. But I was just thinking about what you said, oh, no one was a waste. I'm thinking, no, like Quill basically was not. I don't remember him really being there. In this movie?
No, a lot of people that were in this movie, what I'm saying is, like, even someone like an Agent Carter or a Howard Stark, they all serve a purpose. Like, they're not forgotten.
I understand.
That's what I mean. So even if you had a bit part or you were in one movie before, even the people who played them, like John Slattery playing Tony Stark in Iron Man 2, he was only, like, on, like, a video format that Tony was watching, like a reel of his dad. He never was actually physically in a scene, but they brought him back for this to play Howard Stark again. So it's cool to see.
The guy from Mad Men? Is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I think actually he was in Civil War, but again, it was in a flashback memory of Tony's. So to see him and his father actually have a conversation this time for the first time is really, it's neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we were watching Captain America First Avenger a little while ago, you saw a young Bucky and young Steve at the Expo, right? And you saw Howard and you're like, wow, look at the loop of their story of mm-hmm. how, you know, what Bucky ends up, his history with Howard Stark is going to be, and how Tony's is with the son, and now they're all trying to, you know,
but originally Cap and Howard were friends.
Right.
It's
really cool.
Yeah. They all complement each other.
Yeah.
It was a story that was really well, it was told well.
Yeah. It's woven so well together in ways that if you remember it, it's so meaningful. But even if you are kind of a layman to it, it's still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect of the time travel I loved.
Or even, oh yeah, okay, cool, very good. I like it.
Uh-huh. No, cool.
No, go ahead, say it.
When, I think the next big thing that we watched this movie about a week ago, so it's not as fresh in my mind as if we had watched it yesterday.
I know, we've been a bit busy.
We've been busy, yeah. Relocating the cave, that's part of the process right now. Then a time displaced Thanos is also reintroduced into this
movie. So that was cool.
Which is cool.
Because I'm like, oh, I thought they done did him.
Right.
And it's like, no, the threat continues.
Yeah. It was cool. when the big showdown...
But they knew that going in, right? Because they said, why don't we just kill baby Thanos?
That was an idea.
Right, yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that them retrieving the Infinity Stones, they knew that they were going to revive this whole... It was going to be a risk, right?
Mm-hmm. Point was to try to be as incognito about it as possible so you don't have something like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the time displaced characters, even like the time displaced Nebula, was pretty cool to seeing how she was able to, you know, throw a wrench in all of their plans, even after the fact mm-hmm. that they had retrieved or they thought that they had succeeded, quote unquote. And the cool thing about, not cool, let me rephrase that. One of the stronger points about these movies is that these characters do suffer a lot of loss along the way. There's a lot of things that they...
Yeah, you think that just because they take a punch or two that they could take anything. And most of the time, they're the ones that lose a lot.
They lose a lot. And even though they might win the day, like Quicksilver dies in Age of Ultron. You know, Phil Coulson died in Avengers. Thor lost all of his family throughout this saga.
I think Thor had it the worst, man.
Thor had it the worst.
He had his dad, you know, had a bit of a shady past, did things a little crooked to get to what he did, as noble as he was.
Mm-hmm.
He had this crazy sister.
Mm-hmm.
He had a mischievous brother that tried to kill him more than once.
Right.
His poor mom
was
killed.
Yeah.
Then he loses his whole, like planet or, like, world.
All his people.
All his people. Then the poor guy loses his eye.
Yeah.
He lost Jane.
Yeah.
I think they referenced her. Like, you know, we had a thing, but it didn't work out. But, you know.
You realize just how much through the ringer a lot of these characters have gone through. And even amongst themselves, fighting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, their own personal journeys have all been torturous.
Yeah, but that was petty.
Yes. Okay. But
that was just whose dick is longer than the others. That's what it came down to. Really.
Not the polar bears.
Not the poor polar bears.
So.
But it was a dick measuring competition. The Civil War. It was.
Not really.
It was because like, oh, I see you're Spider-Man. I raise you an Ant-Man. Like, I see one insect, I'll give you another. Like, it was very much a back and forth until people figured out that, hello, this sucks the way we're doing things, you know?
We got to save the polar bears.
This is my mission.
I know.
The polar bears and the elephants.
Polar bears.
Yes. Anyway, that's a whole other.
So, the last hour of the movie. You said the first hour was a waste.
I don't think it was a waste, but it dragged a bit.
It dragged a bit.
Yeah.
The last hour was phenomenal. When they have that battle, it's pretty great.
It's a lot. It's too much.
It was great, but
did you think it was too much?
No.
Even Doctor Strange dude says, "You want more? Like, we're all here. This is it." It was a lot of stuff.
It was overload. But
then you see, oh, this is 10 years worth of work. Like, that's where I sat back and I'm like, okay, get past this oversaturation. It was like, no, these people invested.
Right.
I invested in these people and they're all back for the final.
Right.
You know,
it was cool.
Yeah.
Probably the big moment that everyone was kind of waiting for, but were you expecting Cap to have the hammer?
Yo, that was, yeah. I wasn't expecting it, but when it happened, I was like, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. That was good.
So much payoff.
Yeah.
Especially since...
They hinted at it.
They hinted.
And in Age of Ultron.
And it does have precedent in the comic that Cap is one of the few people who is worthy.
Yeah, I think you told me that.
Yeah. So it wasn't something that they just like...
Came out of...
Convenient. It was... They saved it. They earned that moment. It wasn't something that they wasted in like another movie, especially since we're to understand that Mjolnir was destroyed in Ragnarok, right? So it shouldn't have even played a factor for it. So for it to make a comeback in this movie and for him to be the one to use it and for Thor to be happy about it, it was so dope.
Because in Age of Ultron, he was like nervous.
A little nervous, like you might be. It was great. It was really, really good.
But you know what's funny?
Yeah.
You mentioning that scene and then having rewatched the first Avenger and seeing that part where Tommy Lee Jones's character, who's very skeptical of the puny Steve Rogers, when he takes the dummy grenade and throws it.
Yeah.
And everyone skedaddles except him, and he like coddles it and is like, get away, get away.
He's always ready to put himself on the line.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm like, yeah, totally, like, it speaks on the character of the character.
Right.
Right from the beginning, this is the type of person who would do that and who would be worthy to...
Right.
The full honor.
Yeah, this movie's full of the full circle, which I feel makes me love the Marvel movie collection so much more. Like, when a movie that follows it makes you like what came before it even more, I love that. And a lot of these movies have done that.
Winter Soldier did that for you, right?
Winter Soldier, yeah. I had said to you yesterday that Captain America is my favorite superhero movie trilogy of all superhero movie trilogies, even surpassing the Dark Knight one, just because of how much attention is given to the character development and earning moments and full circle moments where you're invested in the relationships that they're having, and you really buy you don't buy the fiction of it, but you're like, that little kid, that puny little kid, I see why he is this guy, this moral center of them all, you know? And he's
how he never ran away from a fight.
Right.
Like, never.
Right. So when there's a lot of nuance to these movies in how they... Because a lot of people have criticized in the past that these movies lack strong villains, which I disagree with. But I think what makes these movies work is the detail to character building, where you invest in a Steve Rogers or a Tony Stark or a Natalia. Even when they haven't had their own solo movies, you don't realize that Black Widow hasn't had her own solo, because she's been involved in so much of these movies, right? And even in something like Thor Ragnarok, where you got the buddy movie between Thor and the Hulk, there's a lot that you invest in them, where when Hulk sees him in the arena and he goes, yes, I know him from work. It's a joke, but you understand why he'd be so happy to see him there. You know, and these movies are filled with those feel-good moments like that. When it's all said and done, and, you know, the sacrifice is made, and the one who starts it all in Tony Stark is the one who saves the day, essentially, and sacrifices his life in the process. Did you have any hang-ups about it? How did you feel?
Why did he have such a thing about Peter Parker? I'm going to answer your question, but like, what was his thing with Peter?
I think because he dragged him into all of this, and he was kind of like, he wanted to protect him. He wanted to do right by him, and for him to have him die in his arms,
he felt bad.
Yeah, I think.
But Thanos' thing was it could have happened to Peter.
Anywhere.
Donning the spider suit or not.
Right. I guess that was just this camaraderie, but also this mentorship that he had with Peter, that was subtly like he was irritated with him, but then there was a sense of pride as well.
Like a surrogate.
Yeah, kind of like that. So for him, you know, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. And he that was, I think, the most touching
disappearance in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So you can see that may have been his last big failure was seeing a kid die in his arms that he kind of drug into that fight in a way. You know, he felt responsible for him.
Okay.
And then, you know, he became a father. So that kid was cute, though. She was a sweet kid.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down to the family?
Yeah. Thumbs so down.
But I think that's what makes him, what he did, mean so much.
I don't know what it is about me.
I
don't like superheroes having families.
Oh, I do.
I feel like it limits them from... And it does. Hey, man, he even said, this needs to work because now it means more than anything.
That's what I love when they have families.
Right, I know. Because they have everything to lose. But at the same time, it's like, ugh. Now you're going to think twice about jumping out that plane because you have a family. Do you know what I mean? And who's to... You can't blame them.
No, that's what makes it cool.
No, but that's also what limits them from doing certain stuff.
And I think that you're right. It does cause limitations, but
it's
sometimes...
It's like Bruce with Damien. And then, you know, is he going to get married to Selena? And it's like, you know what? Just be a bachelor. You're better at that. But at the same time, I don't want him to be lonely. But then I'm like, he's not lonely. He has Alfred. But then I'm like, Alfred's old. He's going to peace out any day now.
That's why all those other people added are interesting.
Right. But they're not like committal in the sense of like a license. It's like there's an unspoken friendship or partnership with certain people.
It's true.
And I feel like to me, that whole blood is thicker than water, that's a whole bunch of crap. It's the people that come into your life and prove to be more than just...
And that's an argument you can't make any more than with Batman, because he has no family. Everybody is water.
Yes.
Except for Damian, which makes it be like this is his first actual son. This is not just another kid that he's adopted.
I get it. I know. I'm just saying. I just felt like, oh, really? Because 5 years have gone. We had nothing else to do but to make babies. This was the crisis that we were trying to evade to begin with. You're doing it again.
You're horrible. You're a villain. You're a villain. I married a villain. I should make a movie. I married a supervillain.
Anyway, that's just...
So you were okay with Tony dying. You didn't shed a tear. You felt no emotion.
I was not okay with Tony dying, but I think it was poetic when you said he's the one that started it all and he's the one that finished it. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah. I thought Steve was going to die. I thought Cap was going to die.
And I'm sorry that he did in a way.
Cap?
The character Captain America in my eyes, I think, is dead.
Mm.
You know?
How did you feel about him passing on the torch to Falcon?
Well, you told me in the comics he does, mm-hmm. So it seemed appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Would you have preferred it to be Bucky?
Yes, because... But at the same time, they both were his closest friend for their time.
Right, right.
And no one... How dare an outsider come in and judge and make comment on a personal relationship between two people?
Right.
Because that's their experience.
Right.
So if it were he passed it on to Falcon, I'm happy. If he would have passed it on to Bucky, I would have been happy.
Right.
I just think there's a... With Bucky, there's a biases because he's been... He's had that role. That's a real word, so shut up.
Not bias?
No, it's a biases.
Oh, okay.
It's a real word.
I believe you.
Because he's been there before.
Don't snap me.
So you feel like there's a little bit of seniority here. Okay. You know?
Right, right, right. I got you.
But I kind of like that maybe they switched it up. Maybe the obvious thing is to give it to Bucky, but they said, nah, we're going to give it to Falcon.
Yeah, and they're both proper suitors for 100%. The shield, right?
Yeah. Well, he's just as deserving.
How did you feel about the closing of the loop for Steve Rogers getting old?
It was sad, but once you realize what he did to get there, when he says, I took Tony's advice and I lived my life, and you see what that meant, that was very touching.
Yeah, that got me more than anything.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
You sap.
Sorry, but I think because there was so much referred to in the fact that he missed that part of his life. And that was the...
Well, he meant... Okay, to no fault of his own.
No.
And then when he finally came to, he kind of was a little busy.
Absolutely.
So it's like...
But the first thing he says when he wakes up is like, I had a date. Like, I was supposed to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
And...
He never stopped loving her.
He never. And even in Winter Soldier, when he sees her as an old lady on her deathbed, basically having the Alzheimer's and whatnot.
Yeah, but he kissed his niece on the lips. That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I will admit that. But he does, he goes, you know.
Is that considered ancestral?
No, incestuous, no.
Because they're not blood relation?
No, they're not blood related. No one was ever married to anyone. It's all good.
But, you say that in Captain America Winter Soldier,
yep.
When he's having that scene with Peggy, mm-hmm. when she's older,
mm-hmm.
there's pictures of her and her children. There's
nothing of him.
But nothing of him. But you're assuming that scene is referring to her having lived her life with him.
Possibly.
What do you mean possibly?
I'm saying could it be? Because...
When she says, when there's that clip in the museum, mm-hmm. that, Steve Rogers is the reason why I'm married to my husband today.
Yeah, he saved the man.
He's still making changes in my life, or still affecting my life, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one
Explain
way.
Explain to the people.
So in Winter Soldier, there is that scene where Steve is in the museum, and Daphne just reiterated everything that Peggy said. And then when he sees Peggy... as an older lady, you know, she's deteriorated, obviously. She's lived a long life. She has Alzheimer's now, unfortunately. And she sees him, and they're talking. She has a moment where she flashes back to... And she says, Steve, you came back. It's been so many years. And she cries as though she's seeing him again for the first time. Could it be that she's remembering when he went back in time to see her? That... The man that she had married was Steve the whole time.
So this is a theory of yours.
This is a theory, and this is something that I didn't make up myself. I won't take credit for it. It was something that I read because I was really trying to understand all of the time travel rules and paradoxes and how they got away with doing certain things in this movie.
So how will we know if this was intentional, if her life that was lived was with him and him with her?
I think you're to assume that... It wasn't, because when he travels back in time, you create an alternate timeline wherever you end up. How did he get to that bench to see them there? Because his way of getting back there was through the time portal that they had created for him to go through in the first place. So they had counted down to 5. He was supposed to go through that. Had he gone to an alternate timeline... He shouldn't have been able to show up there, my understanding. My other hang-up, I don't know if you had this one, was 5 years have gone by. Everyone comes back to their original state from when they disappear. They're not aged 5 years. Like, Peter Parker is still high school kid. There's a scene of him going back to school,
mm-hmm.
and he sees his pal,
Ned.
And it's... I was like, how are they still in high school? It doesn't make any sense. But... It's been clarified by the Russo brothers that Ned also was snapped and disappeared.
Oh, really?
So a lot of the people that Peter went to school with all got snapped as well. So in Far From Home, which is coming out in June or July, I don't remember. I think it's June. Far From Home comes out. That takes place post-Endgame. He's clearly survived, right? So how is he still in high school with all the same kids from the first movie? The theory is they all were snapped as well. So they're 5 years behind where some of their peers have lived them ahead 5 years.
How did everyone... Was everyone meant to remember what happened to them? Even the people that got snapped? Because everybody was, like, crying. Or for Ned and Peter to embrace the way they did. So does that mean that everyone that died knew that they died?
I think they remember disappearing and then just coming back, but don't remember anything in between. As far as I understand it from what I've read. So those are my hang-ups, and I think they're going to address them, hopefully. I don't want there to be such a cheat with the time travel aspect of it.
But I think that's why time travel and these, like, apocalyptic whatevers is a way for them to just start over.
True. True.
That's just their way out.
Right. It's a good... But that, I think, we'll see as time goes on, because, like, the more I watch Infinity War, the more I'm sure of how much I liked it. You know, sometimes you watch a movie and you loved it when you saw it, and then as time goes on, you're kind of like, oh, I don't think I like this as much as I did initially.
Did you know that Oreo the raccoon, the real-life model for Rocket the from Guardians of the Galaxy, had died at the age of 10?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you know.
Thank you. Do you think this movie will hold up for you? Or do you think that there will be certain plot holes that you may find because of the time travel aspect that will make it be silly?
The action will hold up for me, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. right? Because it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And the whole... And I think this movie is so full of Easter nuggets that I don't even know...
I love that you call it Easter nuggets instead of Easter eggs or golden nuggets. Oh. Easter nuggets.
I think... What I was saying was, I think it's so full of stuff.
That'll be fun to keep
it'll
watching.
Just rewatching it, it'll be like, oh, guess
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Kind of like an Inception. I've seen that movie I don't know how many times, and mm-hmm. every single time.
There's something else.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, did I not watch this movie?
Right.
That's my optimistic...
I hope so.
...thing about it. However, I feel like... I get it. Everyone comes back, or, you know, so-and-so's dead, or just kind of like Infinity War, as cool as it is. Like, I know Thanos is going to snap his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
That's inevitable.
Right.
You know it already. So the re-watch value is certain aspects of it that would make me do it again.
Right. Gotcha. What would you give it out of 10?
Everybody loves it. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I gave Infinity War, I think, a 10.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was my first one where I was just like full out 10. It was good, though. Yeah.
It was good.
I'll give this one a 9.5. I really enjoyed it. I agree with you that it took the first hour, took a little bit, like, let's get this going.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it didn't feel like I was in the theater for 3 hours.
You're right. It didn't.
So I'm going to give this a high grade because it's a great way to end it on a high note. I think of Infinity War as kind of like Empire Strikes Back. And then this one's Return of the Jedi. But this is Return of the Jedi without the little teddy bears. As cute as they are, they're kind of stupid.
The Ewoks.
No, I love them, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's the one where they throw rocks at guys in helmets and they win. This doesn't have that. So it's a wonderful full circle, wonderful bow at the end of the Infinity Saga of what was 21 movies. 21 movies.
Whoa.
In 10 years. Been a blast.
Good for
it's been
them.
Fun. It's been fun. And
thank you, Marvel Studios.
Marvel Studios.
Marvel Studios for everything.
Right?
That's great. You're welcome for all the money I threw at you people.
Right? And awesome. All the movies we bought after the fact.
And rebought you.
I didn't rebuy anything. I bought them once. But I need a Blu-ray edition of Iron Man. I have that in DVD. We need that in Blu-ray.
So this is it. Without recapping, who of the characters still have solo movies coming out? You said Black Widow,
Spider-Man. Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Yeah. They're going to keep going.
Oh, cuz it's only up to volume 2?
Yeah. Captain Marvel. I think there may be maybe another Ant-Man. There'll be more. And now you're going to have Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, Galactus. It's sky's the limit. Who knows what they could do now? It could be pretty great. All
right. It's been pretty good so far.
It's been pretty good, and hopefully they keep up the trend. I hope it doesn't suddenly become like... I hope time travel doesn't get used too much.
You think 10 years from now we'll still be into these movies the way we are now?
I think so, because they're bridging a gap between humor, superhero, drama. Like Captain America Winter Soldier, it's a Captain America movie, but it's an espionage movie. It doesn't play out the way Iron Man does. You know, it's very different. Mm-hmm. Has a different feel, different tone. And Ragnarok had a different feel, different tone, even though you knew these characters interacted with each other. So I think you get a different experience every time, which is fun. And you get the special effects, the action, the fantasy, whatever it might be. So yeah, I think if they're good quality movies, a good quality movie. I don't get tired, like you said, watching Inception or, you know, even some Western movies. A lot of people are still fans of those. When it's good stuff, it's good stuff.
Well done, Marvel. Well done. Give them a round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the fun.
So next time we get together, we should do a countdown of our favorite Marvel movies.
Or the least favorite.
Well, that will be included in when you're counting down. You're always arguing yourself. I should just turn on the mic and say, talk. You could just argue with Daphne. Lady J and Daphne could have a full episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We did half hour shorter. This should have been an hour longer because it's the end game. But thank you, everybody, for listening. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook. And if you want to buy Avengers comic books, go to Cyber City Comics if you live in the GTA area.
Or even if you live in Vaughan.
If you live in Vaughan, you can cross the street and you can get to Cyber City Comics. Steele's in Bathurst area. You can't miss it. Sign is in the sky. Go there. Tell them Eric sent you from Cave of Solitude. And order some Avengers stories. Avengers forever. Thank you again for listening. I've been your host, Eric Anthony. Arguing with yourself. We will be back soon. Take care.